Hey, it's White Boy Chris. If the pat-downs ever made you laugh, then join our Patreon and support us. Get bonus content, a t-shirt, or an autographed copy of Rabbit, Miss Pat's autobiography. Visit MissPatComedy.com for the link to the Patreon, and while you're there, join our Facebook group.
Welcome to another episode of the Pat-Down. We back, goddammit. Here with Chris and Dion, and we had Kate with her runaway slave ass.
12 days of...
Well, yeah. 12 days an assistant.
Yeah. Well, Harry got that ass.
Free at last.
But check this out. We'll be back after the music. We back, goddammit. With the Pat Down.
You better get up, get out, and tune into this podcast. This Pat spit the truth, spit the real fact. Nothing but the ugly, classy at the same time. Pat got the flavor, these are not your same lines. That's the politics, she been on the real grind. It could be pretty but ugly at the same time. Just tune in, put your lock on the spin down. Ain't no need for the wait and turn it up now. What you talking about? It's real though. And cut the game, you get no play like Nintendo. You waste your time, turn it up, nothing but the ugly. Straight off the top, everything she say, you know it's funny. Full blast, this is taste of the future. Listen on your iPhone or your desktop computer. Share it, tweet it, ain't no way to beat it. Nothing but the ugly, turn it up and go and repeat it.
Man, it's so good to be back at home.
Ooh, it's been a minute, huh?
Nigga, more than a minute.
Are you telling the truth?
Nah, I hate this motherfucker. I'm leaving Sunday. I can't wait to get the fuck out of here.
You're already leaving?
Yeah.
I was so excited you guys were coming back. I've been excited for a week.
As soon as they told me I could go home, I went home.
When she told me, I go, when are you coming back? She's like, I'll be back this weekend. I was like, yay!
It was some long, hard fucking hours.
The last week was like the longest week.
We can't really tell you what happened, but
it was just a lot going on.
Yeah.
It was a lot going on. One thing we had is we had something called pickups. Pickups are from, we did a really special episode. I can't wait for you guys to see it. I'm not even going to spill the beans, but we really pushed the envelope on it. Mm. And, It's gone.
One way to put it.
We pushed the fucking envelope on it. I'm telling you. We went down. This show goes down.
I think she
down.
Ripped the envelope in half and threw it in the nigga face.
Yeah. And so some stuff is happening in the world that they was like, we can't put this out. So we had to do some pickups. We had to reshoot part of the episodes with some more pushing the envelope type shit.
Was it more offensive?
They're going to be like, we'll just go with the first thing. You guys were right.
So we had to get rid of that and then shoot it two other ways and see if the network take it that away. And then on top of that, I had to do promo. I had to do a monologue that night. And then I had to shoot a whole fucking episode. So I was up on the last episode. I think we was up to 2:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I had to do promo. And then I had to get back up the next morning to do promo shoots for the TV show. And take all the fucking pictures.
The
pictures turned out fantastic, by the way.
Really?
We are a cute sitcom family.
Will you be able to post any of those in the group?
Not right now.
Okay.
Not until it come out. Because we haven't chosen one for the poster. But they are so.
They look really
fucking good.
Yeah, I barely got to talk to you this 3 months, and the only time I heard from you, you called me at 12:30 in the morning, and then you called me at 5:30 in the morning, and you just, hey, you got to edit that thing, and I, oh, okay, how are you? I gotta go. I felt like every time I talked to you, you just seemed.
She was working her ass off.
Yeah.
Well, because you know, like towards the end. Okay, so towards the end, we was rolling. I mean, 7 episodes in, we had 9 episodes to shoot, no COVID problem. Then, bam, we get COVID. Some of the cast members get COVID, right? So then we had to take it, and then somebody really close to me got COVID, so I had to go into quarantine. Mm. I didn't even fucking have COVID. Mm. So then we had to shoot the episodes out of order. We had to go from we had to shoot episode 10, which is the finale, to 9 and 8. So we had to learn 3 scripts back to back because we was down for 2 weeks.
Yep.
And then when we came out of COVID, we had to shoot two episodes a week. Yeah. Bam, bam, bam. And they wasn't giving you, they didn't give a fuck. You had to come out of COVID knowing them fucking three strips.
Yeah.
So it was like. Then
there were some rewrites too, weren't
there? Oh, shit. There was a couple of rewrites. Too,
while they were having a memory. So it was just.
That was the thing you were most nervous about, I think, was the memorizing the lines. Was it as hard as you thought?
Coach. I had an acting coach the whole time.
Two acting coaches by the same name.
Oh,
or
no.
A different name.
His name was, what was his name? What was his name?
His real name was Troy. She called him Todd.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knew who she was talking about. Todd, where you at? Where my strip? Todd. Everybody looking like, who the fuck is Todd? It's Troy.
Yeah, but
here's your line.
By week two, he's like, fuck it. But I said, I could have sworn you told me your name was Todd. You in my phone is Todd. Nigga, you sure you tell me your name was Todd? Well, your name going to be Todd. You look like a Todd.
Going to have to change your name.
Well, found out how much they were paying me, he didn't fucking complain. He said, my name is Todd, bitch. Todd it is.
So I was always on time.
And so he would help me with my lines and stuff and, you know, stuff like that. But it was just a lot. TV was fucking hard, dude.
Really?
Yes, that was some long hours. And, you know, and every director is different. You know, some they just shot different. Like Kim Fields was so fucking good, but she shot in pieces, you know. But on shoot night, when we had a small audience because of COVID, it was 25 people. But those some of those audience, they came out of last like it was a fucking 100 people in that bitch.
Nice.
And when she was shooting small pieces, and at first I was like, what the fuck is this? But by the time you come to shoot night, man, we would just go through that shit like it wasn't nothing. It was so fucking cool working with Kim.
You and her had really good chemistry.
Yeah, she cursed like I did.
Was that the, you sent me a video. Was that her teaching?
Yeah.
What?
The video of her.
Oh, no, teaching me how to bend my ass over.
Can we please use that?
Yeah, I don't care if you use it.
I wanted to post it, but I wanted to run it by you.
How about we put it on the end of this episode on the YouTube? Go check out this episode's YouTube video at the very end. Because it's, I was at my house and I was just, howling.
Let me ask, because that's in the episode, so let me make sure I can ask it.
Okay.
But it was, I was like, I don't think, I felt so stupid.
You could tell Pat didn't want to do it.
At all.
And Kim was like, bitch, you got to do it like this.
I felt so stupid bending over doing that, because that episode was about porn, and I just felt so fucking stupid.
She goes, I ain't never watched porn before. Everybody on the set goes, what?
I've never watched porn before.
Even the old white sound dude was like, he's shaking his head. Like,
can we say you were mimicking what goes on in porn?
I was mimicking.
I had to show her a video.
Yeah. So
so the director was teaching her something, and her face was like, Miss Pat in fourth grade is a teacher's telling her to do something she doesn't want to do. It's just like your face is just,
I was like, I don't want to do that. I said, I feel stupid. And she's like, you never watch porn? And so that was time she had to take me outside on a fucking loading dock. I said, let me talk to you for a minute, bitch. And I was like, I don't want to do that.
And then there were slow, passionate kisses.
Yes. Yeah. It was a bunch of kissing because I was, and she went to, like, I wanted, like, he literally, in that episode, they lift a lot of personal stuff out of my life and put it in my mouth to say to the daddy. And I was like, I don't want to say this shit to this man. And I was like, I can't say this shit to this man. And then the connection would get really real, really weird. And I was like, I don't want to say this shit to this man. And that was time I would just walk away.
Really?
So it was like, they was like, this is acting. I'm like,
it's really funny because when we weren't filming, she would be cussing that nigga out. Shut the fuck up with your, what'd you, Theseus acting at?
Yeah.
Theseus.
He was trying to say thespian and she was calling him Theseus.
Oh, Thebio, NAACP, because he is so fucking good.
Yeah, I loved our conversation. He seemed so like comfortable and natural and like.
Oh yeah, he's so fucking good. I mean, he was I call him a Theseus, old black bastard. Just so fucking good. He killed every fucking scene. Came to work, knew his fucking lines. I hate you, you black bastard. Every time the fucking lights go off, I'm like, must you kill every fucking line? And then at the end, did you see when I posted my video? They was picking on me.
Uh-uh.
Pick it up. I pick it up right there. I pick it up right there. That ain't even the right terminology. I was like, fuck y'all.
Near the end of the. the shooting. Pick up. Can I pick up? And so when they were doing the promo, all the cast members like, can we pick up? Can we pick up? They were just mocking her. It was really, really funny.
I didn't know you can. I didn't know that was a correct terminology. I wasn't trying to learn. I just say, hey, can I pick up the line I just dropped? Hey, I dropped the motherfucker. Can somebody give me the line?
So it was a pickup where you go back and reshoot?
No, you're supposed to say line.
Oh.
But my dumb ass was saying, can I pick the line back up? You could tell I was a new actor or actress. So, but it was a lot of fucking work. It was tiring. But it was fun. It was fun.
It seemed like in the Instagram videos that you posted, like summer camp was ending. You know how you're nervous to go to summer camp and like you've been around these people for like, you could tell you all didn't want to leave.
No, we didn't want to leave. Gariana got there and she met her little friend.
Man.
Man.
I heard Gariana was active.
She was active. I think she got her a boyfriend at the concession stand.
A boyfriend?
I think she did. She stayed out there.
Yeah, she was at craft table every free minute.
To talk to boys, not to eat?
No, one guy.
I never saw her with a crumb on her hand. She wasn't there for the food.
She stayed at the craft table. I was like, what the fuck is Gariana?
They was watching different shows back then.
She stayed at that craft table. She didn't want to go either. I was like, finally, my child started living.
Yeah, I heard she was doing splits.
Full splits.
She was wilding.
She was wilding the fuck out. She was not the little girl in the basement.
Yeah, I had never seen her that active
before. That's great.
Like, she knew everybody's name on set.
She talked to everybody.
Well, now I'm offended. She doesn't say shit to me when I'm here.
She was around that set, knew everybody's name, knew what everybody's job was. I'm like, how the fuck do you know all of these people? She knew every damn thing.
It's great. Did that make you happy? Because, you know, she kind of was an introvert, kind of in her shell, always in the basement, like, to see
She didn't want to go. I had to make her go. And I'm like, you fucking work on the show. Come and go. So I was happy to see her. She came alive. She really came alive.
So, you met Vince, right?
Yeah.
She would kill Vince every chance she got. She would it would be like a walking drive by, just pow, pow, pow.
Vince is a writer. I think he was on one of the episodes at the end.
Yeah. Vince is a comic. So, they would just go back and forth. That was probably, besides watching the show, that was probably the funnest part, just seeing them two. Gariana would be killing him. She'd be patting on his belly. When my baby do? When my baby?
Ooh.
She would do that to Vince.
Oh, because he gained so much weight because the food was so fucking good on set. Oh, my God. That food was so fucking good on set. So, I got to tell y'all what happened to me. And then I got to tell y'all how my first assistant ran off and left me.
Well, yeah, we'll do that after a break.
So, I got really sick on set, right? I was just having like muscle spasms and stuff. And so, I was like, I'm okay. I'm just fucking aching, right? My whole body. So, they decided to, they was like, I said, I just, you know, go to the immediate care. They's like, no, the fuck you won't. You just start a show. We're going to bring the doctor in. Did I tell you all this?
Yeah.
I did.
You got dehydrated, yeah.
Yeah, they dehydrated. And they ended up giving me some diet pills. And I lost.
You look like you've lost 50 pounds.
I lost like 30-something pounds because she was trying to give me like opioid and shit.
Nuh-uh.
She was like, yeah, she was trying to give me like, she was like, you in any pain? And, you know, I could tell because she came back twice and she was like, you sure you don't need anything? And she had all these IVs and shit. And she, you know, she had them like little fucking juice cups. And I was like, no, I don't need no fucking IV. This is how Prince and Michael Jackson died.
This is how you, the Behind the Music special starts. You
yeah.
get a private doctor and they're
yeah,
like,
those private fucking doctors.
You want some fentanyl?
Yeah. She didn't want me. It's like, I can't even pronounce the shit. What I probably could have got from her, but I had to be able to pronounce it for her to give it to her. She said, you sure don't need anything? I said, bitch, a little B12. I said, I know what I want. She said, what do you want? I said, you got some diet pills?
I'm dehydrated. Give me some diet pills.
said,
diuretics and caffeine.
She said, are you serious? I said, fuck yeah, I'm serious. I said, shit, you trying to give me the good dope? I know you got the good diet pills. So she said, I'm coming back tomorrow to draw your blood to give you the diet pills. She said, but the diet pills I'm going to give you, they have to make them after they look at your blood. And I was like, what kind of shit is this? Yeah. You know, I'm just used to open up a cap and giving them to a nigga.
This is what you were talking about the other day. When you're rich and famous, yeah, they suck it out of you.
Man, that lady fucking took my blood and made these pills. And she said, oh, it's a pharmacist here. They're going to just mail them to your house. They're $200 and something. I was like, what? She said, they don't take your insurance. I was like, I don't care, bitch. Are they going to work? She's like, they're going to work. Nigga, I took them pills. I ain't ate since.
You sent a picture to us yesterday, and I was like, holy shit. Skinny mini. Like,
I look skinny, but yeah. I'm not. I think I lost about 28 pounds.
Wow.
Since I was dehydrated. Literally, I ain't did no exercise. I take one pill a day. It's like a magic motherfucking pill.
Dion, you get one TV show and they start giving you adrenochrome.
I don't know what the fuck is adrenochrome is, but whatever the fuck in that blue bottle that bitch gave me, it is. Everybody's like, bitch, give me some. I'm like, I don't know the bitch
name.
You're
going to start bathing in baby's
blood. It's the essence of babies is what you're drinking.
Man, I don't know what that bitch gave me. I don't even know how to pronounce what's on the bottle. I think the pharmacist, I don't even know her name. She just pulled up in a minivan with a little suitcase full of IVs. Full of IVs.
It's sort of funny that your life is bookended by drug dealing.
And then she was like, and then when I got to talking to her, she was like, oh, we come to set all the time and get stars and celebrity IVs. I said, on a regular? A nigga just can't drink no water? You just come here and pump this shit on a nigga on. But I tell you, whatever she put in that IV, I would back up, ready to go back to set. And everybody said, oh my God, Miss Patty's getting in her trailer getting an IV. And everybody was just worried. It was just texting, what the fuck is wrong with y'all? It's just a goddamn IV to get my leg from cramping. Then it was like, you the star of the show. Everybody waiting outside in the trailer. I said, can y'all leave me the fuck alone?
Wasn't that the episode where they put you in them heels that you had worn before?
Oh yeah, them heels swole my motherfucking feet up. They put me in these motherfucking heels and my motherfucking camel toe swole up. That shit affect my hip, my nipples, and my camel toe. Everything was swole.
I remember coming to work the next day and she had on a leg brace. So I was like, you about to go wrestle? What? Like,
oh, that shit broke.
She said, them heels fucked my knee up.
It fucked my knee up. That's when I started, that's when I needed the IV.
Yeah.
Because everything was cramping and hurting on my ass, everything. But it was fun. It really was.
Sounds like a blast.
Yeah. I'm just glad it's over. So we're going to take a break and come back and tell you how my first assistant quit.
I initially didn't think they'd be like, I was like, all right, maybe they won't be too serious about it. But then like when I started seeing people in spacesuits at the beginning, I was like, holy shit. Like all the directors looked like they had to wear like paper gowns. And
PPE.
Yeah.
I was serious about that shit. The COVID man. Before I get to the assistant, oh my God, let me tell you what happened on last day. So last day I invited somebody to the set. And this raggedy ass COVID man with the motherfucking fake ass T-Pain bracelet and that Fashion Nova suit looking like a baby mama body ass nickel. And I hope you listen to this. With them raggedy ass shoulder lean motherfucking Reeboks on with the motherfucking your thong on with a shit stain in the middle.
He was always wearing sweatpants with his dick hanging out. Like, bro, put your dick away, fam.
It like, I didn't know that they'd be too serious about it. And then I started seeing people in like spacesuits on set.
This nigga was so serious. But let me tell you what he did. So on the last day, I invited somebody to the set. So the girl who does my makeup, the other girl wanted to makeup all this. She went out to get her. She said, well, the COVID guy won't let him in. So the director said, cut. So I go out there and I said, let my friend on. He said, no. He said, the producer said no. I said, I haven't threw around a title all year long. I said, what the fuck you mean the producer? I'm the executive producer. I'm the creator and I'm the star. I said, bitch, the show say Miss Pat. Well, they said, I said, fuck what they said. I trump everybody except Lee Daniel. He ain't here, bitch. The fuck are you talking about? This nigga got his raggedy ass Escalade blocking. I called one of the ladies who were production people. I said, if you don't come to here and get this raggedy-ass COVID dude, I'm going to snatch these motherfucking braids out of this nigga here. I stuck my finger so far up this nigga nose, you thought I gave him a COVID test. I said, if you don't move this raggedy-ass, come and kick a hole in this motherfucking raggedy old-ass motherfucking Escalade. You motherfucker. I hope you listening, too. You fat motherfucking. Oh, you look like a broke-down Nicki Minaj, bitch. I can't stand that fat motherfucker. He made me so mad, I started to beat his motherfucking ass. I was so close, because I was in the middle of shooting an episode.
Yeah.
And then I got to run outdoors and argue with you, and you want somebody to produce them. Bitch, I'm the star. And if I say let my friend on a motherfucking lot, then you want somebody to go sell your drugs elsewhere. What drugs, bitch? I'm shooting a motherfucking $1 million show. What the fuck I look like selling dope, hoe?
He accused you of selling drugs?
He accused my friend of selling drugs. What dope, bitch? Bitch, anything, we be selling some motherfucking hair. Not no goddamn dope, you fat ass COVID motherfucker. I hope you catch COVID, gonorrhea, and lice at the same time, nigga.
I just thought, you know, like I'd come down, I'd sneak down, you'd sneak me on, you said I'll sneak you on the set on Saturday, we'll go out and show me you where I. And
then it was sneak like, you on the set.
You couldn't
nigga,
do shit.
That nigga would eat, that nigga would escort you up under that.
Every
no.
chance he got to yell at somebody, he fucking took it. So we, after we break for lunch, the writers would get lunch and go back to the writer's room. So we'd be all be sitting in there and talking about the show and eating. And so you pull your mask down.
Yeah.
This motherfucker would always walk by. See, this is why we can't have nothing. You guys are going to shut this show down. And it's just like, dude, everybody's eating. We're eating.
I would say like this. Fuck off, fat boy.
That's Garyana.
Fuck the fuck off.
Garyana would say that after he left. Man, fuck that dude.
Fuck you, you fat bitch. I couldn't stand that motherfucker running around out acting like he's somebody. You ain't nobody. Bitch, you going right back to Quick Trip after this shit. Motherfucking gas station working ass, not needed ass nigga. Nigga had on a Fashion Nova suit for women. I said, if you don't take off your motherfucking baby mama outfit, what nigga you know wearing a jogging suit with glitter down the side and he ain't no motherfucking R&B singer? Nigga on an R&B sing outfit.
Ooh, yeah.
Pissed me the fuck out. Running around, I wouldn't let my friend. I wouldn't got my motherfucking friend. I went and got the lady, and she made him let him on lock. He pissed me off so good. I ain't got to deal with that motherfucker no more. Cause hopefully COVID be gone and he be gone to a fat motherfucker.
I didn't know about the him not letting the.
Nobody knew. All they knew, I was about to whoop his motherfucking ass out there in that parking lot. I turned into a rabbit that day. I ran up on that nigga. I dropped that. I ran up on that nigga in that outfit. I was supposed to be back there acting in. Right in his motherfucking face. I said, nigga, move this ragged ass Escalade. Motherfucking 1987 Escalade. You think you ride, nigga. Motherfucking rim newer than the car. You raggedy, backward ass, no insurance having ass nigga. You hit somebody, this motherfucker, it'll turn into crumbs.
You can't give people power when they have no real responsibility, especially if they've never had a taste of power.
You know what was really funny is all the other COVID people were just like,
they hated him.
They were just like, can you put your mask on? Like they didn't yell at anybody. They're like, come on, guys. He's like, I really don't care, but this motherfucker be tripping.
And
so
it's
like,
they had him in his phone. One guy had him in his phone. Fat ass. What was his name? Fat ass Tony. COVID, fat ass Tony, COVID guy.
Tony COVID guy.
That's what he had.
Let me write that down.
Fat bastard. I can't stand that knock-kneed bitch.
He loved giving his COVID speech.
Yeah. He loved giving his COVID speech. I said, nobody cares, fat bitch.
The reason why we need to be 6 feet apart is because, just like, dude, fucking, you read that off of something.
Yeah. Oh, he's getting COVID. I was like, dickhead. Oh, we 3 weeks out, dickhead. We trying to protect you, Patricia. Nigga, you ain't got to protect me, bitch. I got a pocket knife. I cut you and COVID if you run up on me, motherfucker. You fat bitch. I couldn't stand that motherfucker. And the lad that he on that glittery ass suit, too. Mm-hmm. Oh, what nigga you know wear glitter down at they sleeve? I was joking the shit out of that motherfucker. That motherfucker on there with them tight ass jogging suits on. I said, who dressing you, you fat fuck? Who he talking? I'm going to get you back. I told his mama one day, he had his mama on the phone. I said, can you come get this nigga? I don't know which one of you bitches braiding this hair, but y'all waiting too long to redo this shit. His mama hollering. I said, this nigga got more new growth on his head than I do my pussy.
You said that to his mother?
His mama said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, bitch, you need to be praying for your nappy head ass son. Nigga look like he got two sets of braids on his motherfucking head. Oh, nappy head fat motherfucker. Couldn't stand that motherfucker.
I had no idea she hated him that much.
I hated everybody. That fat.
Nobody
liked that fat fuck. I hated that fat fuck. Because he thought he was somebody. You wasn't nobody. Nigga, you were the mask queen.
All that bullshit.
That's what you were.
And it's
the
still
mask
got,
queen.
It's on him that it got shut down for COVID. Let's blame him.
No, he was a good COVID guy now. I got to get to it. Nigga, your asshole couldn't catch COVID. He was, he ran out snatching COVID out your asshole. Nigga, I think he ran out licking COVID off the walls. He wasn't letting...
like the little fish that you put to suck the scum off.
That's why he had glitters on his suit, nigga. He picked up the COVID off the wall. Grown ass nigga.
Just hoovering COVID.
Fat motherfucker. That nigga went on, he wasn't going to let no COVID in that fat bitch. I couldn't stand that fat motherfucker. He going to listen to my podcast one day because I was talking about everybody on the set was laughing because I was talking about that. You talking about me outside the show, man, you fat fuck. Understand that motherfucker.
Well, we got to talk about the elephant in the room.
Oh, yeah.
it was not a reference to you, per se, but so I was like, hey, I haven't heard from anybody, and we're running out of episodes, and can you let Miss Pat and Dion know that we need to do something? And Kate goes, we fled Atlanta.
Fled Atlanta?
We fled. We're not here.
Ah, that's about right.
Kate and her husband really are the great videographers who do a tremendous job with YouTube and went down as Miss Pat's first assistants and
video people
and got some good stuff. And then
one good episode.
Yeah, there we go. And then left, abandoned.
Like a thief in the night.
She goes, there were just so many shootings around us.
Oh, God. It was just too many niggas. You know, Midwest. They wasn't ready. They hear gunshots. They was like, oh, I hear gunshots. I said, don't complain. Let the bullet hit you. If the bullets don't hit you, they're not for you. They're not for you.
Here we go. Explain.
Yes, please tell me.
Fear.
Explain my fear.
Explain your nigga.
Gunshots, nigga. What you mean? Explain your fear. What kind of? Explain your fear of being shot. It ain't that bad. I got hit twice.
Nobody was shooting at her.
What do you mean? Explain your fear. Everybody but you is afraid of guns getting shot. You like, it ain't that bad. You only need one nipple. I duck slow. It's not that big a deal.
You can fucking tell when the bullet is close.
Well, I mean,
she doesn't have experience. She's from like
terrifying.
That's what I was about to say. The last time I was on the episode, I don't know if y'all remember, but
you grew up in like Carmel or Zionsville.
I grew up in Pittsboro, Indiana, a very teeny tiny farm town. I mean, I was
no accidental shootings up
there. My whole point, I was very like the whole point of me being on the episode was to talk about how sheltered my life was and how intense my parents were. So
then you go to Atlanta, and what happened?
So then we went to Atlanta, and there. Like she had someone go out and look at the Airbnb for us before we went there, and she was like, you'll be near the hood but you won't be in the hood. And I was like, all right,
Atlanta, not you always near the hood.
Not realizing Miss Pat and Kate have two different definitions of near the hood, what the hood means.
So there were a couple of things. It wasn't listed as a duplex on the Airbnb, so now we're like sharing a wall with people, and our dogs are there, so that was a whole stressful thing because they were barking. But yeah, it was the first night we were there, we went to try to walk the dogs, and like, this is how white I am. It's 11:30, it's dark, you can't see shit, and you hear like pop 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 pop, and I was like, is someone putting a roof on right now?
It's the inverse of the episode like a year and a half ago when she goes, somebody's shooting in this neighborhood. I go, they're putting a deck together.
Yes. I was like, Tyler, is someone putting a roof on one of these houses?
Put the roof on at 11:30.
We're in a strange land, Tyler. We don't know what their customs are here.
I guess with a pneumatic gun, too. Pop, 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 pop.
It was really fast the
you
first
really
night.
You really think Mexican working at all?
Okay. No, I quickly came to my senses, but it was the one thing I could think of immediately. And then Tyler was like, I think those were gunshots. And we were like, maybe we should start walking back towards the house. Because like, we were like... we were away from the neighborhood at this point, so since we weren't in the hood in our neighborhood, we now are in the hood out of the neighborhood, so we're like, maybe we should run back up to the Airbnb.
Which, two people running through the neighborhood, I'm guessing is not the best
place. It's probably not the best look. It probably wasn't the best look, but I was wearing slippers. I looked that I didn't intimidating. Commit
crimes in slippers, Dion.
She wasn't in the hood. She was in a part that was being gentrified.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that
by
bad.
Them.
We were very by close them. To, yeah, like right. The next street over had really pretty, like what you see downtown here, like the like painted gentrified. Brick. That was like the next street over, basically.
Yeah, so you, the we white people was there. But the niggas was still two blocks over shooting. So, and I just told them, tough it out, you know. They not going to shoot you because you're the right color.
They don't have zones in Atlanta. It's right. One minute you're cool, the next minute you're not. And you don't fucking know. Yeah. Nobody tells you until you're in that shit. You're like, oh, damn, I done went too far. They just, there's no signs of... You have now entered an area you should not enter.
No.
Please turn around. It's just like, oh, shit! Right back to do.
When she told me, all I could think about was you talking about Atlanta and
that place, man.
Man.
Well, I mean, sometimes I'd be getting groceries for her, and she'd be like, "Why are you at that place? Get away from there! That's like, come to the one near me. Don't be there." And I was like,
she would be on Cascade, and I'm like, "You a white girl with a big ass booty? I know you're gonna get hit on."
You ever heard of cuckold?
Jerry Falwell Jr. Folks.
I'm on Cascade. I'm like, you're very good with that camera.
But yeah, I mean, we had like 10,000 worth of computers and cameras in there, so we took Ring cameras down too. And one of the other things you can get is security reports like every day. And just like in here in Indiana, you all probably get like, this kid ran through my lawn. But like, we were getting like, there was a shooting point 3 miles from here, and like the safety
far.
And before the podcast, she did let me know that 0.3 miles is far, but to me it felt close. It felt closer than it had ever felt before.
That's the Atlanta geography, right? Yeah,
right.
0.3 miles. Close.
You need
bullets
to learn your...
don't travel that fast.
You need to learn your crime zones, girl.
I do.
You worry about it when it's 0.1.
Okay. So I was 0.01 times outside of danger zone.
Is that close to 0.1?
Yeah, it would be.
So I get up, and I had a feeling, because she's like, oh, they're just shooting. I'm like, oh, Lord, she's not going to last. She's just not going to last. So I get up, and I had a feeling. I said, I got a feeling she done ran off. So I called her. I said, where are you? And I kept calling. I said, I hope ain't nobody broke in there and killed him. Because, you know, she's over by Stewart Avenue, and I kept calling her. I think she didn't have the nerve to tell me that she left.
You so when didn't
she
tell her?
No.
Like a thief
I called
in the
you
night.
I called you before we left and said that it was like, you said, if you think you need to go, you go.
Yeah, but I didn't think.
She's like, that's all the permission I need.
I didn't think they was going to really fucking go, because I was in the middle of shooting. And I called her the next day, and they was fucking in
guacamole
Indiana.
Guacamole over here. Guacamole.
Literally, they was in Indiana. I was like, you left? I said, you left? She was like, we left. I said, okay. Bye-bye. God damn.
Yeah, that was one of the night before that, though, we came back and then had to walk the dogs really late at night because she was working crazy hours all the time. And we heard it again. And we were like, I was like, I have PTSD. I'm weak, and I was scared, and I was getting stressed, and I made that decision
to get the fuck out.
Do you sometimes think about that, Pat, and just start laughing?
Well, I was left without an assistant. They was like, "Where did your assistant go?" I said, "Oh, she was white. She ran." And so they was like, "What the fuck?" I said, "She couldn't handle too many niggas on set and by her house shooting." And they was like, "She was scared." I said, "She couldn't take the gentrification. It wasn't moving fast enough in her neighborhood."
You're not wrong.
I said, her street didn't make the gentrification list yet. It was just one street missing. So she couldn't wait on it. I said, so she went home. And just so happened, Jordan had somebody to fill in, and it was okay. I was like, fuck it, she's scared. It wouldn't have scared me, you know.
because it happened to you before.
They've hit you. Bullets.
I remember the first time I saw somebody get shot, that shit scared the fuck out of me.
Did you see that happen?
I was in fifth.
Please say Atlanta.
No, I was in sixth grade. No, I was in Indy, the West Side. They did a drive by on this nigga in a van. They had AK-47. I'll never forget that. It's like clack 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 clack. Ah! And we were bringing in groceries. From my mom had just got back from the grocery store, so we were bringing in groceries. They were at the end of the boulevard. It was like you come in this way and then you leave out this way.
Yeah. Right?
So we were on the leaving side, and they came up in this van, and they shot the dude that was standing by the flagpole. I guess he took a knee or something. No, he got paralyzed, though.
Oh, that's so sad.
He would be wheeling around the neighborhood.
Lest you think white privilege does not exist.
That shit is terrifying.
Kate and I have never been anywhere near it. Like, the idea that I could see somebody get shot, I just it's hard to comprehend.
Well, you don't have to have white privilege to see somebody get shot, you know.
Just go to the grocery store.
Right. Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous. We opened the country back up, and they already shooting people.
I know.
It's fucking ridiculous.
It is fucking ridiculous.
They wasted no time. It was like it was on cue, and the buffering finally stopped.
I literally asked my friends, I was like, did it just not happen for the last year? It was like the media distracted with COVID, because it would just is like you hadn't thought about it. It hadn't happened. And then all of a sudden it was just like, ugh.
My man.
You know?
Hey, people, all those bullets that were sold during the time of COVID, somebody, you know, they was ready to shoot something. They was tired of going to shooting paper.
Or around Kate's Airbnb.
Around Kate's Airbnb. I mean, it wouldn't have scared me. I'm like, hey, they just fucking shooting Kate. And she fled. But I guess
fled. I didn't realize you just fled. It was... Yeah.
She fled with permission. It's not like she, you know.
It shouldn't have been completely shocking. You said you didn't think it was completely shocking.
I was very shocked you left. I didn't think you would leave.
Oh.
I thought you would. It would only get better. It was the first week. Every week wasn't that long. Well, that was a long. The first week was very long. I mean, that shit was raw.
Yeah, we would usually be done by 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until the last week, I think, where we were there past 8 o'clock on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
Just because we had to get everything done because it was the last week.
Yeah, you had a lot of pick. Like I said earlier, we had a lot of pickup and stuff.
Yeah,
but usually, we'd be done by 5-6 o'clock.
Everything fell apart the last week.
It was just crunch time, man.
Yeah,
that last week, it was just crunch time.
Was there like a date that you had to have all the shooting and everything done by?
Well, we should have been done March 8th. We didn't get done to March 15th.
Okay.
Yeah,
because of COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we should have been done.
But is it going to be fantastic when it comes out.
How long do we have to wait? When does it air?
Summertime.
Sometime in July.
Okay.
It was going to be sometime in July, but we had to push it. I don't know which way we're pushing it because we have some other stuff is coming out. So, I don't know yet. Hopefully, it'll go the other way towards the front, you know, of July. So, I don't know. But we're looking forward to it.
It's a really funny show.
It is so funny. It's what I love about it. I don't know my favorite episode. Jordan asked me that today. He said, "What is your favorite episode?" Because you know what I like about it? Because you see my acting elevate.
Yeah.
I think I learned so much from acting, just the cast around me, how they, you know, surrounded themselves around me. Cause I call my, even though I'm the star of this show, I know I was the weakest link because mm-hmm. I'm the youngest actress. You know, I'm the most
least
inexperienced.
Experience. Yeah.
Right. The least experience. Everybody else is theater. They went to school for this shit. They theses.
How many days or weeks or did it ever leave that feeling like that you felt like I'm an imposter here. I don't have as much is there a point where you kind of
nah,
hit,
I always
like,
felt like a hang. Like, no, nah. I'm never. One thing about me, I like being the underdog. Mm-hmm. So when I feel like I'm the underdog, it makes me compete even more. So I'm not lazy.
She's rarely the underdog.
literally the most talented human I've ever met.
I'm going to compete. So if you go home and learn your lines, I'm going to go home and learn my line. Yeah. So I would literally be waking up to daddy, nigga, let's learn our lines. And then I would go to the daughter, let's learn our lines. And I would be with the acting coach, let's learn our lines, even on the weekend. And I remember they was like, bitch, do you ever take a day out? No, nigga.
It would take longer to block the scenes than it would to actually record them.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah, so, and blocking is like which way you, when you walk in the house.
The camera is.
The camera go. And it's so funny when you see TV, you don't know the way the people come in the house. All of that stuff is told. That's called blocking. Right. When you see somebody come in the house, stop by the couch, the director told them to do that shit.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know that before this shit.
So like literally everything is choreographed.
Yeah. Everything is choreographed. Cool. Go up the steps. Come down the steps.
Yeah,
all of that shit. So that what took the longest. It took up a lot of the rehearsal time. And then you read the strip, and then you have to do table reads for yourself, and then a network. So it's just a lot of fucking work. So
it's gonna pay off though.
Yeah, I'm praying it's
getting to watch every episode live was just like, by the time it ended, you're like, damn, this is gonna be so fucking good.
I know almost nothing about, like, you told me like a couple little things that are going to happen, but I'm so excited to see it because just the little like threads of what you've talked about, it sounds like it's going to be.
It's genuinely laugh out loud funny. There are lines and scenes where you're just like, God damn, that was really fun. It was funny to like go through the process, but then just to watch it back on camera, too, right? It's just like, oh my god,
I can't tell you what I did, but I had one scene in the kitchen, and me and the daddy was getting ready to go to therapy, and I did something to the daughter, but it wasn't in the strip. Oh. And it was so fucking funny.
I was afraid I was gonna fuck that take up because I was laughing so loud.
Yeah.
I was sitting in the back watching it on the monitor, and
Mike, what are you?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I haven't helped Mike in 4 months, and now
I'm sitting in the back watching on the monitor, and Pat does this thing, and I just lost it. I'm like, oh, I hope I don't get in trouble, because that shit was so funny. It was so unexpected, but it was so natural.
And everybody was so like, good. Where did you get that from? And it was just a thing that popped in my head. And I kind of was going to do it another way, but what I was going to do it with, she had fucked it up and put it in the trash. So I was like, I got this shit. And nobody knew I was going to do this shit. And I show it to you on the tape. I show it to you, but it was so fucking funny. I was trying to hold it, and then daddy whispered, you so fucking stupid. And I remember the daddy, like, they would come up, the daddy would come up. He's like, this shit is so funny. He was like, who wrote this joke? And I was like, I don't fucking know, Jay Bernard. Yeah. Did you write this? And then, like, the cross-eyed line, I wrote that line by just talking on the phone.
Yeah.
I think I was talking to one of the writers, Tom Simmons. And he was like, and I remember him coming up and be like, who wrote that line? I was like, well, I wrote that fucking line. Because if I could remember who wrote the joke, but it was just so, it was just to see it on the flow. What I learned is when they said let it hit the flow for it to really come alive, because you write some of the best fucking jokes on the flow.
Really?
Yes, because one of our guest stars, I don't want to give it away, one of our guest stars is from what's the name of the show?
In Living Colors.
Yeah. So one of our guest stars is one of the big stars from In Living Colors. Ooh. So Dion gave him a really good line at the door.
How many guest stars?
We only had two. Is it two?
I think it was him and the.
Yeah,
yeah,
two.
Yeah.
It's cool because it sounds like such a classic sitcom. Well,
technically three, if you can count the bartender.
Well, who else beside the bartender?
Wasn't the baby daddy, is he considered
he wasn't a
guest star? No.
Nah, that was a really good episode too. You wasn't there for that one, was you? Mm-hmm. You was just there for the coupon episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, the baby daddy episode was so fucking funny.
That dude, he should get an award for how good he was. That nigga was hilarious.
He was so fucking funny. He had me hollering. And that episode was so empowering for me, because it's like I got him back. But what was crazy after we wrapped, because I had to do my fantasy, Jordan just bust out and started crying.
No.
And the hair dude started crying. He was like, oh my God, this reminds me of my daddy. And I was like, what the fuck? And people was coming up like, this is my, that was my fucking daddy. But Jordan was just booing. I was like, what the fuck are you crying for? He said, thank you so much for letting me tell you your story. And I was like, whoa, is this this touching?
It's a very powerful moment when she gets to interact with the baby daddy, because there's like several different interactions, but hers is really, really powerful. The rest of them are pretty funny, but hers is just, it's like, wow, that's some good TV right there. I mean, watching the show, it just reminds me of those good ass sitcoms back in the day. They don't make them like that anymore.
Yeah, like you learn something, but the guest stars and
it's really, really funny, but there's substance. Everything makes sense. There's no just, oh, we're just trying to be funny here. Like,
right.
It all flows together, but it's also really good. Like,
yeah.
Like the last years of Fresh Prince, you knew this is going to be some really good drama with some really good comedy in it. That's what it felt like.
And you legit seemed like, well, we can wrap up because we're at 45 and do another episode if you want.
Okay.
So.
Well, we're going to wrap up, guys, and we'll finish telling you about it later.
Go ahead. You got to take the call if you got to.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll wrap up, but you guys got to see it. It's some great fucking.
It's so good.
And the finale is, oh my God.
Do they let you keep?
Well, we're working on it, but the finale is so fucking good.
Let's end there, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank y'all so much for tuning in to another episode of The Pat Down. Make sure you check out my website at misspatcomedy.com for all of my social media, my tour dates, my book. Make sure you spread the word about my podcast. Please rate and review. Please rate and review and share. Thank y'all so much, y'all. I've been Miss Pat.